KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers. Experience the new 2024 Tacoma at your local dealer and learn about the new lineup, including turbocharged four-cylinder engines and a hybrid powertrain option. San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Wednesday, December 18th. The Sheriff and County Board of Supervisors are at odds over immigration enforcement. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. If you see a parking ticket on your windshield, make sure to take a close look. The San Diego Police Department says someone is planting fake parking tickets. They look like regular parking violations, but ask for a donation to various organizations instead of a fine. Some of the organizations listed are the San Diego Police Foundation and the California Transportation Foundation. The police recommend contacting their department if you receive a fake ticket. It will be a busy holiday season at San Diego International Airport. Airport officials expect up to 1.3 million people arriving between tomorrow and January 5th. The busiest days will likely be Friday through Monday before Christmas and then Thursday through Sunday after the holiday. It's estimated that this year there will be 4-5% more travelers than the same time last year. Santa Ana winds will be at their strongest this morning in the county's valleys and mountains. The National Weather Service warns that gusts could reach up to more than 40 miles per hour through and below passes and canyons. The winds will start to weaken tomorrow. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the National Conflict Resolution Center. Geopolitics, a divisive election year, and strained budgets are all topics that can create tension in the workplace. NCRC can help workplace leaders navigate polarizing issues with the Culture, Communication, and Conflict Certificate. More at ncrconline.com.
San Diego County Sheriff Kelly Martinez says she will not be following a new policy from the Board of Supervisors that limits her cooperation with immigration authorities. Reporter Katie Heisen looked into what's next.
State law allows the Sheriff's Department to help U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement in certain ways, even without a judicial warrant. Sheriff Kelly Martinez declined an interview but sent a written statement. She says she has authority over the jails, not the board, and they'll keep doing what they've been doing. A local immigration attorney says that violates state law.
The sheriff has the discretion to cooperate with local law enforcement if, you know, only if it doesn't violate any local policy.
Ian Soruelo chairs the Immigrant Rights Consortium. He says they've notified the state attorney general of the sheriff's refusal. Martinez says they coordinate with ICE for public safety. They let ICE interview consenting people in their custody with certain convictions and notify ICE of upcoming release dates.
If they are able to show a warrant signed by a judge, that's not the problem.
Saruelo says they're ready to support a lawsuit if necessary. Board Chair Nora Vargas declined an interview. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
Can our immune systems defeat cancer? Maybe so, if they have the right diet. SciTech reporter Thomas Fudge tells us that T cells that consume acetate can kill more cancer cells.
Imagine your immune system could fight off cancer just like it fights off a cold or a flu. Some scientists are working hard to find ways to shift the immune system into a higher gear to stop cancer using those little pathogen killers called T cells. Sue Keck is a biology professor at the Salk Institute. She says you can make T cells stronger so they aren't suppressed in the harsh environment of a cancer tumor. And you can do this by getting the cells to consume acetate instead of other nutrients.
We actually found that the way in which our genes are turned on or off can be dependent on which nutrient the cells are consuming.
Researchers found you can get T cells to prefer acetate as a nutrient by making sure they had plenty of a key enzyme. This was proven in experiments with mice whose T cells got much better at killing cancer cells. Thomas Fudge, KPBS News.
San Diego is forecasting a budget deficit next year of more than $250 million. Metro reporter Angie Bowen says with service cuts looming, city officials are looking at parking meters to help soften the blow.
After voters narrowly rejected Measure E, a sales tax hike to fund the city government, San Diego is being forced to confront reality. The services the city provides cost more than the revenue it takes in. In an effort to show he's tightening the belt, Mayor Todd Gloria announced a hiring freeze this month, but only for so-called non-essential city staff.
Are you freezing the hiring of parking enforcement officers? Those positions generate $250,000. 30% of them are vacant today, something we've been complaining about for years.
That's Michael Zucchette, head of the city's largest employee union, speaking to the City Council Budget Committee last week. He pointed out the hourly rate on city parking meters, $1.25, is a tiny fraction of what private lots charge their customers. Mayor Gloria says he's open to adjusting those rates.
If we can take those revenues and invest them into our transportation department in those neighborhoods that do have meters, so we're doing more road repair, more light repairs, et cetera, that would be one way to offset or mitigate potential reductions to necessary neighborhood service levels, and that would be something I'd be extremely interested in.
Parking meters are not a panacea for the city's budget woes. Even with the most aggressive pricing scheme, the city will still have to cut services to balance its budget. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
Few conversations have more landmines than political discussions with loved ones who hold opposing views. I spoke with Public Matters reporter Amitha Sharma about how some San Diegans are navigating these polarizing talks as the holidays approach. Amitha, you've covered fractured relationships over President-elect Donald Trump as his first term in office ended 4 years ago. Now that he's about to start his second term, how are people's bonds with loved ones faring?
Well, you know, Debbie, really, over the last 8 years, rifts so deep over politics have formed that marriages and friendships have ended, siblings have stopped talking to each other, even parents and children have become estranged. And really, the crux of the issue is that people have questioned whether they still have a shared sense of humanity and fairness with their loved ones. And they believe that when they have disagreements over issues like abortion, climate change, guns, immigration, healthcare, all of these huge, huge issues, that those disagreements actually cross moral lines. And so when they differ with the people they feel closest to, they feel betrayed. But at the same time, I can at least say that the handful of people that I spoke to for this segment feel like they are managing better than they did maybe 4 years ago or 8 years ago. Take Noli Zosa, for instance. He says he sometimes felt caught in the middle between his mom and his cousin, who don't support Trump, and a sister who does. He says he has learned to read when to discuss politics and when to hold back, especially when it comes to his Democratic friends.
It's about navigating and knowing people's personalities and if people can discuss these things rationally or whether it's a trigger and it just will just ruin a meeting or a nice dinner. And I'm sure that happens in a lot of families.
You've been following a local voter who had very much wanted a different outcome in last month's election. How is he navigating his friendships?
Yeah, that's right, Debbie. Alan Hoving actually canvassed for Harris in the weeks leading up to the election. He says post-election, he simply did not want to marinate in anger, as some of his friends have. So he actually congratulated a friend from high school who supported Trump. And he said that that friend was really touched by his words, maybe even disarmed. And then that friend expressed his worry about whether the country could now unify. And now Hoving says he's on a mission to find common ground with people who hold opposing views to build consensus.
So now I'm trying to find what are those places and spaces where people are actively coming together to try to solve the common problems.
While there are still a lot of residual feelings from the presidential election, Should people simply avoid talking about politics over the holidays?
You and I both know that conventional wisdom says yes. But I spoke with Daniel Post-Senning. He is an author and etiquette expert with the Emily Post Institute. And he actually believes that people should talk politics, but, and this is a big but, they must be extremely aware and extremely accountable about just how they do it.
You can acknowledge that it's a difficult topic of conversation. You can test the waters a little bit. You can put out some feelers, maybe share some opinions or open the door to the conversation, but don't just barge through with all your lights flashing right off the bat.
Amitha, people living in social silos and media silos make these conversations even more challenging, right?
Yeah, they really do. I think that's why this conversation, these discussions have become so fraught. I think the biggest source of dissension is that people are operating from a wholly different set of values. I spoke with UC San Diego sociologist Kevin Lewis. Here's what he said.
These conversations are even more challenging than in the past. Both sides just have a hard time really even conceiving of an alternative, viable perspective.
You know, Debbie, the key point that emerged from the people I spoke with is that it is absolutely crucial that people understand where everyone is coming from and to hold a space for people to discuss their views. If this does not happen, it will be extraordinarily difficult to move forward and rebuild some of the unity that has been lost in this country.
Amitha, thank you.
Thank you, Debbie.
A long-standing nonprofit, Art Space in Oceanside, faces eviction and closure. Arts reporter Julia Dixon Evans takes a look at the gallery's final exhibit.
The day after the Oceanside Pier fire, artist Marisa DeLuca collected fistfuls of charred wood from the beach, a charcoal she could mix with paint.
My work has always been kind of a love letter to Oceanside and to the ancestors of Oceanside. When that fire happened, it really kind of put kind of an exclamation point on the rapid change in the region.
DeLuca's painting, made with the pier's remnants, is now on view at the Hill Street Country Club, a nonprofit art and community space in Oceanside, founded in 2012. The building's landlord put it on the market several months ago. Once the sale enters escrow, the gallery will close. It's a situation emblematic of broader changes in Oceanside, says co-founder Diana Polonitz.
Everything's just very uncertain. It's the coast, it's by the beach. We're like one of the last coastal cities in California to actually pull off gentrification finally.
Despite Oceanside's designation as a California cultural district, there's little infrastructure to support cultural organizations facing displacement. John Arroyo, a UC San Diego professor of urban studies, says cities must do more.
Could there be an emergency fund to help make a down payment on another property? Could the state, the city, the county evaluate other county-owned properties that are not being used?
Julia Dixon Evans, KPBS News.
As 2024 soon comes to a close, KPBS is looking back on things that made our year. We put together a curated guide of the best movies, TV shows, performances, songs, and more. My favorite song of the year would have to be Apple by Charlie XCX. You know, when I hear that song, I can't help but to start dancing. I guess the apple could turn yellow or green. There's lots of different nuances to you and to me. See what I mean? That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening and have a great Wednesday.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego International Jewish Film Festival, celebrating its 35th year starting January 27th. This year's festival features more than 30 films from 13 countries with special events and guest filmmakers. Tickets at sdijff.org.